Well, I'm not moving back to Tulsa. Is that what you thought I wrote?
No.
I am coming back to the Cultural Center of the Universe, Oklahoma.
Okay.
Does that help?
That helps a lot.
Okay.
I can get anywhere in Oklahoma.
But it's western Oklahoma.
Oh, dear.
Where the buffalo roam. That's right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, I'm glad to see some of you made it back that were here at 9, because it will help you if you were here at 9. But our Lord could start in the middle with anybody anywhere, couldn't he? And connect. And I know that's going to be our case this morning, but I would like to encourage all of you, no matter if you return tomorrow or Saturday, if you really want to get at the heart of what Debbie and I are talking about, I would encourage you to get the CDs. And this isn't a commercial for CDs for us or anything, but just so that you can connect these things, because that's what this is about, right? Jesus is our model. And I think Debbie really opened that up for us this morning, but he is. And one of the things that I always think about when I think about the Lord is that he never did anything that would jeopardize his relationship with his Father. Did he? Let that sink in for just a second. And hopefully apply that a little bit to what we're going to talk about in just a minute. And what you will hear, not just at this workshop, this spiritual feast that we're at, but what you hear and what you're involved in always in your life. We can be a little pharisaical and want to put extra rules, extra amendments. But at the same time, hopefully, we will be able to remember that wherever we stretch, wherever we grow, whomever we accept, however we connect, that we never want to do anything that would jeopardize our relationship with the Lord. Right, ladies? And I want to connect with you this morning. I hope we can get some terminologies clear. And as a teacher, we like to have clear communication, don't we, ladies? How many of you wish you could have some clear communication with a certain individual in your life right now? It would solve all your problems, right? At least with that person. Are we okay? All right. My husband, I love that man for so many reasons. But this morning, he was reading the USA Today to me, which is a complete role reversal, because guess what, ladies? I normally read the paper to him in the morning and I tell him what he needs to know. And this morning, he said, "Oh, honey, here's what you need. This is the reason you are speaking, and you didn't even know it." And I said, "What?" He said, "Right here it says, get this phone, this Sprint phone. It's the cure." And I hope this doesn't offend any ears in here. "For correctile dysfunction." Do you feel like you have connectile dysfunction? Did I say correctile dysfunction? Whoa, that's really, see, just connectile dysfunction. It's the cure for connectile dysfunction. Because we know, don't we, in our lives, so much of the problems we have a lot of times come because we do not connect. We do not communicate. If you have a teenager or have had a teenager or there's been a teenager in your space ever, I don't have to explain that to you. Isn't it a glorious day with whoever it is when you connect? And I think what Debbie said this morning was so great. You may not remember what a person did to you, but you remember how they made you feel. Right, ladies? And that's what connecting is all about. Jesus is our model, and the model is just a pattern, isn't it? An example. This is a dictionary definition, a representation that if we study it, we can reproduce it. And we agree with that. That there's not a problem there, I don't think, in connecting. And Jesus is our mission. Love the theme of this workshop. And a mission is a specific task or responsibility that a person or a body of persons is assigned to do or to fulfill. So, Jesus the model, that's a noun. The model of acceptance. Look at this. What this person, Jesus, did in the area of acceptance. And Jesus, the mission is a verb, isn't it? The mission of connecting. And the class pairings for these next 3 days are so interesting. And like you mentioned, the model of acceptance and the model of connecting, and the mission of connecting, the model of discernment, the mission of risking, the model of love, and the mission of winning. Makes sense, doesn't it? Doesn't it help when we see the bigger picture sometimes? When we have an idea of where we're going? It helps me. Jesus knew how to connect. He knew when to risk. And he knew what winning is. And I have to admit, I have trouble in all three of those areas. Sometimes I just am so frustrated because I don't know how to connect. I want to connect. Or many times I have the blinders on and I don't even see how I might connect. And certainly when it comes to risking, oh, girls, I've taken a lot of risk in my life. I have the scars, physical scars, to prove that. But other types of risk, and I'm finding the older I get, the more cautious I am. Wisdom comes from experience. Experience is a pretty good teacher. But let's think about, free our minds enough this morning to wipe all the preconceived ideas we might have about what connecting is or acceptance is, and let's just let the model teach us. Invite the Lord to teach us, to show us. Why are you here today? You read it was cafeteria? Thought we might have food. I ran in here last night. Did you smell barbecue, Debbie, when you came in here last night? I thought, woo, that's going to be hard to talk if we're cooking barbecue, but they're finished now, I guess. Why are you in here today? What did you think this would be? Why did you choose this? You certainly have a lot of choices. Look at this picture. Now, these are two men, but let's just take gender out of this for a minute. And, you know, are you hoping to find a way to connect? Don't you wish that we all just either had an outlet or a plug or a plug in an outlet and we could just stick our heads together and connect? Wouldn't that be wonderful? That's not how it works. Sometimes I meet people. People in my own family, I think, if I just had a plug and could stick in the side of their head for a minute and get them to connect with me, with the program, get with the program. How many of you are connected to the web? The World Wide Web. I put in Mission of Connecting and I got 3 million hits on the web. Debbie, I put in model of acceptance, get ready for this, and I got 30 million hits. Now, obviously, I didn't look at all 30 million. I didn't look at all 3 million. But it tells me something. This is terminology, vocabulary, that people are using out there in space. in the World Wide Web. To draw people, where? To their website. And so I investigated a few of these. Most were mission statements. Very interesting. The PTA, the heart of their mission is connecting people and building trust. Many universities had as their mission of connecting their alumni a certain goal, a statement. This is my favorite, Maui. The mission of connecting mainland hearts with the Aloha spirit. Some people can just connect with their way of saying things, can't they? U.S. Forestry Service has a mission of connecting people with ideas and resources and one another so they can care for the forest. And there is actually an organization called Connecting People. And it's the mission of building bridges. And this is what I want you to see here, for communication between people. What's our mission statement as Christians? Now, this is very secular wordy in a way, I think. We got into the new terminology of mission statements about 10 years ago. Everybody needs to have a mission statement. And, of course, in the purpose-driven life, if you've read any of that material or seen any of that, what do you need to do? You need to define your mission statement. But don't answer that just yet. Let's think for just a minute. Let's make sure we're connecting. Let's try to get on the same page this morning because I want to connect with you. I want us to connect with the Lord. I desire greatly that we will be strengthened and unified when our connection is real and strong. We need to be careful, ladies, not to confuse our mission with our purpose. Have you ever thought about that for just a moment? Confuse our mission with our purpose. The purpose of the church and of every individual Christian is this: glorify God. Let that sink in a moment. Do you remember what I said at the beginning? Jesus never did anything that risked his relationship with the Lord, that put his relationship with the Lord in jeopardy. Why? Because his purpose was to glorify God. Are you agreeing? Are you just deep thinking? Are you just wondering where's the barbecue? We're in the cafe, in the cafeteria. Just pause for a moment because that's a really deep thought maybe. And refresh yourself. I want to tell you something. Debbie, I was just laughing when you said, what were they thinking this morning when there was a surprise little meeting in here and messed with our making our nest to get our things ready? And what were they thinking? I mean, just because maybe they think it's the cafeteria and there's going to be maybe several women in here that, they'll just mess with us. We walked down here last night and I said, well, this is kind of like being out of the camp, isn't it? Sent out of the camp when you're in the cafeteria. My husband said, oh, no, don't think about that. Don't think about being unclean, sent out of the camp. He said, no, no, no. He wanted to encourage me. He said, it's more like the outer court of the temple. He said, remember, that's where the women and the Gentiles were. Right? Right? How did he glorify God in what he said? We get really particular sometimes and we start to dissect everything. Are you glorifying God in every word that you say? I don't. Every thought that you think? I don't. Do I want to? Yes. Does he accept me when I don't? Yes. Does that keep me from wanting to or trying harder? No. No, it doesn't. I want to glorify God in everything I do, every area. Ephesians 1, 11 and 12. In him also we were made a heritage, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, should be to the praise of his glory. Let that sink in on you. We're so busy, we can't be still sometimes. Come into his presence. Feel accepted by the Lord. And know that we are about 100% glorifying him. But under this purpose of glorifying God, now we have the works of the church. And of course in James, he goes into quite a discourse, doesn't he, about faith and works and what is it, and show me your faith and I'll show you my works. And it's connected. It's all connected. Yet the works of the church are benevolence. Acts 2, you saw that they shared all things, that no one had anything lacking. Acts 8, Philip, Stephen. You start to see how they scattered throughout the region. And they were taking care of widows, orphans. There's just so many ways. Those that had need, 1 Timothy 5:3, the widows and the orphans, equip and strengthen. That's a work of the church, isn't it? Ephesians 4, that wonderful passage that gives us so much encouragement about unity and how we can connect by identifying that one of the things we do is equip and strengthen as a body, this body. Right? This body of Christ. And evangelism is one of those works. The Great Commission. Go. Where? The whole world. And we've put that on our shoulders as each one of us is going to have to go into the whole world. Jesus never went more than 40 miles from where he was born. Well, he didn't have an airplane. No, he had the Holy Spirit. He could have zapped up and appeared anywhere, right? Quit thinking about the limitations of the first century and the limitations of the 21st century. And let's focus on connecting, getting into what the Bible says and not what we maybe have assumed, been told, or never questioned. We all have different gifts that fit into the accomplishing of the works of the church, right? Is there anyone in this room that doesn't know what their spiritual gift is? Now, I don't want to make anyone feel bad if you don't. That's okay. You know, you just may not have acknowledged or been taught, but it's just kind of like colors. I know that if I put on certain colors, people ask me, are you feeling all right today? I just don't do well in that color. I wear other colors. Wow, you know. I know there are certain things, ladies, that you almost say, I was born to do that. Do you feel like that? Certain things I'm just born to do. And there's other things, well, I can do, but I'm not going to sign up for that. But I can do that. Romans 12, list of gifts, spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, quite a diverse listing there. Some of those are things that have passed away. But at the same time, we can see We're all different. Our giftedness is different. Our purpose is the same. Right? And our mission as the church is the same. Now, if our gift or gifts don't include evangelism, and if you take a spiritual gifts inventory, that's a category on there. And so if it doesn't come up evangelism as one of your primary, secondary, or tertiary gifts, does that absolve our responsibility of sharing the gospel? Love to give those gifts inventories, and people say, whoop, this isn't on there. Mercy giving's not on there. I told you I'm not merciful, and now I can prove it. See this piece of paper? So don't be asking me for any sympathy ever. My daughters used to say, ever anymore. That's not what the purpose is of taking a spiritual gifts inventory. The purpose is to open your eyes. I don't know about you, but if you've taken one of those, it kind of made me say, oh, Lord, did you make me like this? I don't know who to blame. No, not blame, Lord. I'm going to praise you. This is why I'm here. I want to grow, but this is me. This is me, right, Debbie? This is me. And there's only one of me. This workshop is about soul winning. It began 32 years ago with this purpose in mind, this mission, soul winning. If you want to raise your hand, fine. Your face will tell me. But how many of us feel guilty when the topic is evangelism? My sweet mother. Godly woman. I wish she could have been at her service, her funeral service, with the rest of us there. Talk about evangelistic. Now, she would have said to you, because she said it all the time, if there was a meeting or a certain sermon, she might come home and she felt so guilty because she wasn't teaching anyone. You knew my mother, didn't you? She wasn't teaching anyone. And she would say that, oh, I hope the Lord understands. You could feel the angst in her body. She felt so guilty. At her service, there were a lot of people there, and it wasn't really a day for me to remember a whole lot. You know what I'm talking about. But I kind of turned around and looked, and later I read the book of the people that were there. I didn't know so many of these people, and I thought I knew everybody in Elk City. Well, there were waiters from the Pizza Hut where they went on Monday nights with another group, and every Monday night they had their own table. They knew what they were going to order. But they weren't there because of the tip, these waiters from the Pizza Hut. Why were they there? She had connected with those people, right? She had evangelized. It might have been the first time some of those people were ever in a church building. I don't know. And if you want to look at the outward appearance, it was a little scary. And I have to tell you, there were some people looking at him like, you're a little scary. There were sackers from the United Grocery Store. There were people that had bought her cookbook that she had made just for the family, but it kind of leaked out all over the place. And they were there, and they were there because she connected. Was she evangelistic? You better believe it. How many of us believe that if we can just get the right formula, girls, the right method, get a little more courage, get that nerve up, a little more knowledge, then we can finally do what we're supposed to be doing? This is like a diet. I'm an expert on this. It sounds like finding the right diet. I'm learning in all areas in my life. When I allow myself to do what I'm designed to do, what I'm designed to do, when I eat to live instead of live to eat, and I eat good food, not junk, and I do that every day consistently, and I move my body every day, and I allow my body to rest every day, then surprise, surprise, there's health. I'm doing what I'm designed to do. There's success. It works. And I want to continue, and I'm eager for the next day. And it's taken me almost 50 years to get that figured out. I was eating cottage cheese and on one of those shakers. You know those shakers? Those belt things, shakers? At age 12. I've had to change my thinking, though, and that has not been easy for me. It has not been easy. So what if we could give ourselves permission to stop feeling bad about what we think we aren't doing? What if we could each start pointing people to Jesus and seeing that pointing people to Jesus is something we are all doing when we fulfill our stewardship, which is based upon the giftedness of the Holy Spirit, what He has given us? We've got enough guilt. We've got enough shame, don't we? And I loved what you said about false guilt. This is an area where so many Satan holds down so tight because of false guilt. It's time to realize when we fulfill our stewardship, we are being evangelistic, and then we glorify God. That glorifies God. Now, here's an insanity cycle. I want you to understand me clearly. And for those of you who might be listening on a CD, knock doors. I am not against knocking doors. I am not against that. But here's an insanity cycle that I have seen repeated in my lifetime, in my church culture, in my Christian culture. We knock doors. We have a big meal. I'm not against big meals. Not against it. Big crowd. Not against friend day. I love that. But then in a couple of weeks, we're depressed. I'm going out on a limb here, talking about this maybe, but it just has, I have been transitioning a lot, out of my comfort zone, out of the classroom, out of the building, and out there, and moving around some out there. When I say out there, I mean to a lot of states and countries. And I am seeing this over and over. I come in there, and you know one big reason that they've called me in there? Is to give them another shot, another boost. Why? Because they're feeling so down about connecting. Here's what happens. In about 2 weeks, where are they? Or a month? Well, they're pretty disconnected here. Because there's no connection with these people you've brought in. If there's not, the chances of them coming to you there in that building are pretty slim, right? Now, we learned in Mexico, you have a big meal and people will come. They will come from any and everywhere. And what they connect, there's nothing wrong with that, but what they start connecting is you'll feed them. And we need to feed people that don't have food. We're going to talk tomorrow, though, about discernment, about risking, and take some guilt off there, I hope, too, and get some action into that. But exposure is not connection, is it? Unless we're contagious. Chickenpox season. I have 5 grandsons. I say it's just a infectious, contagious thing. Could be at about any time. But exposure's not connection unless we're contagious. Jesus' fever is contagious. But you're going to have to get close enough to spread it. Right? You're going to have to, like Debbie showed, those hands. You're going to have to touch them. And some people don't care to be touched. And we don't want to touch A lot of people. I actually use the wipes now at the grocery store. Wipe my hands off there that they provide. Wipe the basket off. How much more information can we take? Let's pause a minute. Ladies, if they come on the TV one more time, I mean, when they took my peanut butter, my Peter Pan peanut butter, I mean, you know, now the pet food. It's a wonder we aren't all in the spirit by now up there. Right? This world's a dangerous place. I don't need, I'm just enough with the information. Enough. But people do need and they want to connect. However, the desire and the need for acceptance come first. There will be no connecting until we have this. Debbie opened our eyes to see this model of acceptance because if we can use his model and accept people where they are and for who they are, then the mission to connect with them and to connect them with Jesus can be accomplished. It can. And it's not a painful thing for us. But do we believe this? Is there anyone here willing to admit that perhaps we have gotten the cart in front of the horse in here, the mission in front of the model? Maybe. Will we only accept someone after they connect with Jesus? Got to connect first. Then we'll accept you. A part of Jesus' mission was connecting. Jesus was the light of God that came down and connected with the earth. He became a man and he was a conductor of God's grace. And Jesus was reaching up to his Father in heaven and connecting with the lost, the least, and the lonely of the earth. Isn't that a beautiful picture? His arms stretched wide. I can't think of any other way, although it hurts so much to think about our Lord on the cross. But what was his posture? What was his body language? Come, I accept you. Connect. He connected. There's a great illustration. We may have a little bit of this tonight. Isn't Tulsa exciting? I mean, we get things so fired up around here. We have movements in the atmosphere, usually. Lots of thunder, some lightning, rain. But Jesus connected. That is energy, isn't it? That is power. That is light coming down in the darkness. We must connect with the light source before we can be a part of the mission of connecting. I love this picture because this is a good one. There's a three-prong plug here and a three-prong outlet. Surely none of you have ever tried to stick, you know where I'm going, a two-pronged plug. A three-pronged plug into a two-pronged outlet. Have you ever done that? I've done that, and then that other piece is kind of sticking out there. My husband says, we can't do this. This is Christmas lights, and it is the Griswolds here. I'm trying to light up the whole neighborhood. Honey, you can't do that. Why? It came on, see? He goes, it's going to blow us up. Because I'm not doing it the way it's designed. So we just connect with the light when we need something, and we need it in a hurry. Right? We just jump in there and get a little something from the Word and we jump back out. No, we need to get in it. We need to connect with the light. We need to get in the Word. And if you have your Bible and you want to turn to John 4, I want you to do that. But at the same time, I know you know this story. It's the Samaritan woman at the well. And we can learn how Jesus connects with this woman when we look at this. And we can learn how the woman connects with Jesus. And we can see and learn how the disciples are so connected, disconnected here. I want to say, we're going to live with this woman for the next 3 days in here. And I hope see some things about Jesus and about this woman and about this incident, this encounter that we connect with. It's very interesting when it says Jesus had to pass through Samaria. I know you've heard this story many times. You could probably, some of you, just preach a sermon on this woman at the well. We identify with her, for one thing, in many ways. But it's very familiar to many of us. But I learned something new about her even last night at 9 o'clock. When I'm just reading one more time that passage and I'm thinking, And I had my narrated Bible there, the chronological order thing, which you can't find a thing in those, you know, but they're good reading. They connect events and things, the reading here. I'd never realized this. This was the first woman Jesus actually had a conversation with of any length. She's the first one. The only other person we see a conversation with of any length up to this time is Nicodemus. Who was he? A Jew, a man. And he came where? To Jesus, didn't he? But here is this woman, and what is happening? She's a Samaritan. And Jesus came to her, right? Jesus isn't just any Jew, though. He had to pass through Samaria. No Jew had to pass through Samaria. They did everything they could to go around. But Jesus is looking for those who are not accepted. He is looking for those who have not accepted a connection with the Lord. The woman is looking for a way to avoid people because it's noon, it's hot, no one will be at the well, she's hoping. The acceptable women come early in the morning or late in the evening when it's cooler. She can draw water alone and she can avoid whispers. She can avoid stares because, putting it crudely but true, this woman is the prostitute of the community. And everybody knows it. He knows she has a bad reputation. He speaks to her anyway. And her response is much like the response we will get many times. She gets very defensive, doesn't she? And she says, verse 9, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I'm a Samaritan woman?" And all she knows is he's a man, he's a Jew, and he's thirsty. And Jewish teachers of that day would rather burn the law than teach it to a woman. That might help you just a little bit to understand this relationship of connecting that Jesus had with women. How did he make them feel? Accepted, worthy, important. This woman had no reason to trust him. Many times when we try to connect, people's defensive buttons are triggered, aren't they? It's almost like, boom. And you want to say, "I come in peace." But it's just triggered. Many times, though, the apparent lack of openness usually hides a hurt or a really deep need. And we all know what that's like. I'm sure that you all, when you just feel really bad about yourself, you're just loving to connect, aren't you, with people? We don't, do we? Why do we expect others? You know, "Oh, do you didn't know it, Samaritan woman, but you're my evangelistic project for today." Jesus didn't think like that. He didn't act like that because he didn't have evangelistic projects, did he? He connects with the common interest they share. He keeps the conversation focused in the beginning on their common topic. And what is it? Water. They're at a well. They're humans. They both need water. And Jesus knows how to connect the physical with the spiritual. Think about that for a minute. It's not rocket science, ladies. It's not. And men. And women and children and young girls and grandsons. Do you know the great thing about grandkids? You get another chance, don't you, Debbie? You get another chance. And I just love those little guys because I have been trying from the beginning to connect them with God by connecting them with His creation. I don't want to teach them all the not rights about evolution. I want to teach them all the rights about creation and about how it's amazing. And Jesus knew that all people are thirsty for something, didn't he? People are still thirsty after a weekend of drinking. Living water stirred hope in this woman, and this woman needed hope. And people may not understand the spiritual aspects of their lives, but they are tired of going to the same old well, the same old watering hole for fulfillment. In the darkness, the lost heart cries, "Is there any hope for me?" Patricia is a woman I just met this last week. She's cutting my hair. And we connected. And I began to tell her, just use everyday things a little bit about, "Oh, I'm getting my hair cut. This is a big step for me. I hadn't gone straight." "You're straight now. You weren't straight the last time I saw you with that hair. I'm going to go straighter and all this. It's a big step for me." "And why?" "Well, I'm going to Tulsa and I just need to freshen up a little bit." And she started talking to me. Here it came. I mean, what are you going to Tulsa for? And we talk about this, you know. And we start connecting. And then she tells me, "When I was 18 and going down the road to complete destruction, my teacher at cosmetology school helped me see that there was something better and it was possible for me. She said, otherwise, I wouldn't be here cutting your hair today. I'd probably be dead." Wow. Somebody took the time to connect. Can we connect with the lost? Yes, we can. But we're going to have to start looking. If we're not looking, we're not going to connect. If we're not able to see beyond the unacceptable lifestyles and focus on the common topic, we're not going to connect. And this woman starts to express some doubt after Jesus speaks to her and says, "You have nothing to draw with. This well is deep. Where are you going to get that living water?" You know, just real doubtful. What could you possibly be talking about? And then, this is great, she shifts to a religious debate. Anything to get the focus off of her, right, ladies? And she says, "You know, you're not greater. Are you not saying you're greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us this well? He drank of it himself and his sons and cattle." This would be enough to stop a lot of us from going any further. Do we like to get involved in a debate? No, and Jesus doesn't either. And we don't have a lot of examples of that, do we? When is he involved in argument or debate or what seems like? When someone is trashing God, right? Not being who they should be in God. Does Jesus take the bait? No, he doesn't argue, he doesn't lecture, and he doesn't give up. He just keeps on going. You don't have to answer every question somebody throws at you, especially those that you know are there to hook your nerve. Jesus shifts from the physical to the spiritual and says, "Whoever drinks of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." And now she's curious. Like this cat. Cats are curious, but cats are also somebody I just look at. They just love to rest, don't they? And they can. "Sir, give me this water so I'll not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." She's still focused on the physical, but the idea is very inviting here. Lightning has struck, hasn't it? The connection has been made. Her need could be fulfilled forever, and she could have some rest. And I don't just mean from carrying a heavy water pot. With Jesus' acceptance, the connection is made. She begins to see she has an opportunity to move. There's some hope there. From shame to forgiveness, from despair to hope, from death to eternal life, and the choice, though, will be hers. There's another place where we get switched around. We think if we've done a good enough job, then what? They'll connect with the Lord. They'll accept the Lord. Will she choose to accept Jesus? That's her choice. Stop beating yourself up about the people you've tried to connect with or teach and they didn't accept. Please, what can we learn about connecting from this encounter? We have to go where the lost are. Jesus had to go through Samaria. The disciples would never have gone through Samaria because the Samaritans were dogs. Do we look at people and then determine if they're worthy? If they're worthy of the gospel? And I think Debbie just filled that out for us so well. The disciples made no connection. We're going to jump to the end for just a minute here of that passage and see what they came back. Nobody asked, it says. "Why are you talking to this woman?" You can just almost see them coming in and they don't even look at her. She's like not there. And they just, you know, talking about other things. Nobody asked. There's no connection for them. They dismissed her, and it's so easy to insulate ourselves, isn't it, from bringing Jesus to people because they don't fit our categories of whom God accepts or who He saves. So do we bring people to Jesus, or do we bring Jesus to people? That's what I want to know. Fish don't jump in the boat. You don't park your boat on the shore and go, come on, little fishy, jump, 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 jump in. Jesus didn't sit in the temple in Jerusalem and wait for the Samaritan woman to come down there, because she's not coming. Right? We must understand all people have a need to connect, and they have a right to connect. And Jesus understood that the Samaritans were as worthy of salvation as those Jews. He accepted the sinner, not their sinfulness, not the behavior. And we get that mixed up too many times, don't we? We think if we accept the sinner, then we have to accept the behavior. I can love the homosexual, but not accept their behavior, right? Get real, like you said, Debbie. Get real. Are we guilty of not seeing past the behavior and to the soul? We have to find a common topic. I don't know what it is, but I know it's out there, because one thing I've seen in this country, in this state, and all around the world is we're connected because we're people. We do the same things. We just do them different ways. And we must establish some truth, because this is essential. That we destroy barriers of distrust. Missionaries, foreign missionaries, domestic missionaries, people that call themselves missionaries, spend a good deal of time doing this. What do they do? Eat with people. Sleep. Live the way they live. They do all kinds of things. I've been in some rivers in Mexico, I want to tell you. I was shining in the moonlight, because that's where we was taking our little bath, and all the women were doing that. And cleaned up the way they cleaned up. I slept the way they slept. And it takes a long time to do that, to build trust. It takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of energy. And like we said, we're just flat out of that, aren't we? Just about in this culture of rush, rush, hurry, hurry. Jesus renewed His strength through His connection with the Father. He prayed. He could go where the lost are. He could understand that all have a need to connect. And He did find a common topic. We can too. And He established trust. I want you to pray just for God to lead you. Lead you to those who are searching, to those who are asking. But use your specific giftedness and you'll be evangelistic. Serve them. Encourage them if that's your gift. Teach, whatever it is. You just may be the connecting rod to get them from here to this other person. So they can teach them. Be merciful, be compassionate, and just maybe lightning will strike. And maybe we'll plug in. But we won't ever connect unless we do.